Well, thanks everybody for getting back timely. I'm glad I made the commitment early on when I talked about the feedback we had sought and how we'd react to it, that one of the questions I said was, what has the PCAOB decided to do regarding that important matter we discussed at the last meeting? So I'm sure you'll all be looking forward to the next meeting when I live up to that commitment and respond to all of these comments. And so I'm certainly looking forward to doing that. But I do think it is very important, the input that you gave us when I sought feedback officially, and we are committed to the points we made earlier. And thank you for all the feedback in the opening session as well. And by the way, feedback can come at any time to me, and that is, you know, via any sort of communication or phone call or email about anything that happened, either that you're aware of that you think we ought to be thinking about, or something else about a SAG meeting that you'd like to talk about. So I'll reach out to you all from time to time, and I'll hopefully you all reach out to me. Arnold Schilder made some comments, and I appreciate that. Again, Arnold, your comment about your working on audit quality, and I'll stay close to you on that. And I think, Arnold, certainly we've met on a number of occasions since he's had his responsibilities and I've taken over this responsibility. And I think in each case I've told Arnold to a comment that Ben Coleman had raised earlier, that as we develop new standards, we'll be looking very carefully at what the IAASB is doing, and we're committed to working closely together going forward. And hopefully I've committed to that, and Arnold, I think you've been happy to hear that, and we are working together closely, I think, going forward. Jennifer Rand just came back from a week meeting of the IAASB over in Seoul and shared a lot of input about that meeting with me. And one other comment that I'll just make before we get back to the agenda is in defining audit quality. Galen actually started that discussion about developing a framework and defining audit quality. It is a subject that's been on our agenda, continues to be. Some of the members of the profession here are part of an audit risk working group that we get together periodically and talk about a variety of issues. And one of the issues actually that's been on that agenda is audit quality and how would you define it. So we're working with others and been working with the profession and kind of asking that question, how do you define audit quality within your firms, to try to help inform us about audit quality. And we've had that subject for discussion in our audit risk working group. So a lot of work is going on in a number of these areas. And as you saw, there's hopefully an ambitious standard setting agenda. But thanks for the input you gave us on the other items. All right, the next item with respect to standard setting we wanted to cover this morning dealt with the status, and again, there's a paper that many of you discovered apparently as part of the last session, discovered in your handout, which was the status of previous SAG standard setting discussion topics. And let me talk about that for a couple of moments. On this handout, we've listed all the standard-setting topics that were previously presented at SAG meetings. Now, what's not on here is from time to time, somebody may have just brought up a potential standard-setting item that didn't establish itself in a deep, you know, process discussion. This really is the items that the PCAOB presented as official SAG discussion topics at all of the previous SAG meetings. As you'll see on this paper here, many of the topics have resulted in standards or other guidance. Many more, which I've already discussed, are on our current standard setting agenda. And the status of several other topics on the schedule is noted as pending review of interim standards. As noted on our standard setting agenda, kind of towards the back of the standard setting agenda that I previously went over, we're taking a priority-based approach in determining which interim standards need to be addressed and amended. So we're looking based upon to a comment that was made earlier, what we're finding in inspections or elsewhere to determine what we think are the most significant audit issues and risks that need attention from a standard-setting perspective. And we're taking then a priority-based approach in our addressing new standards or in addressing the interim standards. So for those marked pending, we do plan to address them at some time in the future. They're just, you know, there's so much you can put on the standard setting calendar at one point in time. They're not on our standard setting agenda right now. Otherwise, I'd have more on there than we could deliver on, and that I don't want to promise more than we can deliver. This four-page previous standard setting discussion topics paper has 28 different standard setting topics that the SAG has discussed over the years. And as you can see, some of them were discussed multiple times. Of the 28, 22 fall into the three buckets I just discussed. That is, we've issued guidance, we've issued a standard or a concept release or a staff practice alert, or it's a current standard setting project, or it will be covered as we continue to march through the interim standards. So of the 28, 22 fall into one of those three buckets. That leaves six of them in some different category. And again, some of you apparently noticed on page one, feasibility of audit quality indicators was indicated as not a current standard setting project. I think we've commented on that one quite a bit already in the last discussion, and that is that there was conceptual agreement at the SAG meeting that the identification, measurement, and disclosure of audit quality indicators was a good idea, but there was little agreement, I think, on what, in fact, were good indicators of audit quality. As I mentioned earlier, we're very aware of the project that went on at IOSCO and the paper that's been published by IOSCO on the subject, and they're looking for comments on that paper by December 1st. And we'll be monitoring that project and what the comments are on that as we think about this going forward. On page two, at the top, there's the Committee on Improvements of Financial Reporting proposal relating to judgments made by preparers and auditors. As you may recall, one of CIFER's recommendations was that the SEC should issue a statement of policy articulating how it evaluates the reasonableness of accounting judgments and include factors that it considers when making this evaluation. It went on to say the PCAOB should also adopt a similar approach with respect to auditing judgments. As noted here in footnote 3, we've decided to not take any action on this recommendation of CIFER until the SEC implements the recommendation with respect to a judgment framework for preparers. Moving down on page 2, you'll also see the topic towards the bottom, discussion of forensic audit procedures. It was the consensus of the SAG discussion when that was brought up that the PCAOB should not incorporate forensic auditing into our standards, and therefore that is not part of our standard setting agenda. The last item on page 2, we discussed indemnification and limitation of liability clauses. Because the existing guidance in this area is under the purview of the SEC, the PCAOB does not have a standard setting project at this time. On page 3, you'll see the subject entitled about in the middle of the page, titled Reporting Model. Again, this is a subject of our earlier discussion in this morning's session. This was, as you mentioned, an ACAP recommendation again, at this time, we've not begun a project to review the auditor's reporting model. Again, that is whether or not to kind of stay with the short form pass-fail type of report that auditors issue compared to some other type of reporting model which would get into greater detail about risks or uncertainties or other matters or the auditor's responsibility for fraud or a variety of other subjects that could be entailed in that report. We've not begun a project on that yet, and so that's not a current standard setting project. Again, as I mentioned, this is another area, as I mentioned earlier, that IOSCO has issued a pretty good paper addressing some of the pros and cons and issues on this subject. That paper's out for comment with comments due by December 1st. And finally, on the page 3, the last item there, the auditor's responsibility for communications to investors containing financial information. This is not a current standard-setting project, as it was felt that we should not add a responsibility for auditors regarding the many ways that management communicates to investors, such as through press releases or investor calls or matters such as that. So a project of this nature may not be within the rulemaking authority of the PCAOB, and we've decided at this point in time not to put on a current standard-setting project with respect to other communications to investors that contain financial information where there's no audited financial statements as part of that communication. As you are aware, as part of an annual report or a 10-K filing, there is other information in the annual report or the 10-K outside of the audited financial statement, and there are existing auditing procedures with respect to that information that the auditor should read that information in the audited document and determine that that information doesn't contain any material inconsistencies with respect to its information with respect to the audited financial statements. So that concludes a discussion with respect to the status of previous SAG items. That also concludes the discussion of the first item on today's agenda, which covered items of our standard setting over the past year, the current standard setting agenda that we have in front of us for the next year, 2010, and out into 2011, and then previous SAG discussion topics. As I mentioned, we'll continue to keep the SAG informed as we amend the standard setting agenda, and that could happen for a number of reasons, including input received here. And we'll continue to advise you on what we do with the discussion topics that come up here. So we did get certain comments with respect to the standard setting agenda and previous discussion, certain lively conversation before on some of these topics. But the floor is open again for SAG members to comment on standard setting topics that we've discussed. And in some cases, you've also commented on standard setting that we haven't put on our agenda so far. I'm particularly interested in hearing about any need you might see for standard setting emanating from the current financial crisis, that if anybody sees a need for any standard setting items on our agenda that might emanate from that. So again, the floor is open for you for comments on our standard setting agenda for SAG discussions. And we'll go first to Wayne Collins.
Yeah, my comment is broader, and it builds somewhat on the comments made before the break about the coordination or looking to IAASB standards in terms of the PCAOB standards. There are a number of items on this list that indicate pending review of interim standards, which raises the question or the issue of, we have one body in the U.S., the ASB, which produces standards for privately held company audits, and the PCAOB for public company audits. And it's an unusual situation, whereas the IAASB, we're dealing with global standards. We do things within this country one way and another country another way. But here, within one country, the firms are having to deal with two sets of standards, and the concern that needs to be addressed is how to harmonize that to the extent possible, the greatest extent possible in the U.S., so firms don't have to look to two separate standards in training the staff and in terms of audit methodology.
Is there any further comment on that point? Lynn? And Turner?
I think Wayne makes a good point about the two sets of standards in particular, given that it seems the ASB has done a better job over the last 7 years of advancing the standards and has put out things that deal with some of the problems with the standards. On the other hand, Congress made a decision that with respect to public companies, there would be a separate set of rules and that the PCAOB would fulfill that thing. So I don't think it's to be expected that there would be one set of rules, and I suppose what would be preferable would be that the PCAOB would catch up to the ASB to where it could get into a leadership role in that respect, and then we wouldn't need the ASB. But it was very clear that the PCAOB was to be the ones that was issuing the standards to protect investors, because in the past, the ASB had not got the job done, which led us into the Enron and WorldCom type problems. So I think it needs to be a combination of the PCAOB getting caught up, and maybe they just do need to adopt, at least on an interim basis, the standards that the ASB is doing until they can get those get to them themselves, so we don't have two sets of standards. But ultimately, it should not be a matter of the PCAOB just accepting the ASB standards. It has to be the PCAOB needs to get back to the leadership role for which it was formed in the first place.
Thanks, Lynn. Galen Hansen?
I think that in changing the subject now, I have believed this for some time, that the PCAOB needs to take a look at these SAS 70 information service provider reporting. We had this situation with Madoff where accounting firms weren't even asking for SAS 70 reports. Not to say that there was one, but that probably should have been taking place. In the meantime, I understand that the SAS 70 is currently, there's a project to amend that, to move it out of the auditing standards and into the attestation standards, and I just think that the PCAOB needs to be monitoring this and on top of it, and if necessary, have their own standard with respect to these types of services over internal controls. So that would just be a suggestion to consider that. And I know that there has been some discussions and probably some things that have been done internally, but I'm not sure, again, that this group knows about those.
Thank you. There have been some discussions about SAS 70s, and there is a proposal out from the SEC with respect to investment advisors that would deal with a review of investment advisors' internal controls in certain cases and a SAS 70 type report being issued. So we are taking a look at that, and so certainly SAS 70 is something that is, I mentioned earlier that our standard setting agenda could be impacted by the certain developments with respect to the SEC on broker-dealers or investment advisors that could have an impact on our standard setting, and as well as in other areas. But you're right, the ASB is also taking a look at this right now on SAS 70s. Vin Coleman?
Marty, maybe this is more of a point of clarification based on the status of some of this, but I think last October the board announced an action plan to review the interim standards. So you format, consistency, have an objective based, so you'd have consistency of all on the same level. Where does that stand? Because it's in a lot of the status of the various more detailed activities you're presenting. So what is the status of the plan to do the review of the interim standards for consistency, format, and other considerations.
We have made a decision to that there were higher priorities than going through the interim standards for a consistency format. Certainly important things were done with respect to defining certain terms in the interim standards through the PCAOB rules that dealt with must and should and so on and so forth. There were critical things that had to be done from a consistency perspective, and that was really important. But with respect to other matters, again, I think we looked at this. We went over the either the project of just going through all of the interim standards and making them consistent and putting objectives in them, or going through the standards and really dealing with what we felt were priority issues that we felt were the most significant audit issues, creating the greatest audit risk, and dealing with the interim standards on that basis. So what you see in front of you in the standard setting agenda is really new standard setting matters outside of the interim standards, plus those interim standards that we felt needed to be addressed on a priority basis because we felt they were the most important standards with respect to audit quality. So we'll continue to go through these and deal with interim standards. And we may reach a point at some time where we say, listen, we've dealt with the critical ones, and now let's just go through the rest of them with respect to dealing with, if you will, housekeeping items, if we got to that point. But any time I think we'd open up a standard for just even making it consistent, I think we'd be opening that standard for a standard-setting process by amending it with a comment period. And so I think that process would entail more than maybe it sounds like on paper. So I think we thought about this carefully, and our current process is, and we have a note on the back of the standard-setting agenda saying we're going through these standards on a priority-based approach where we see the greatest degree of audit risk. Arnold Schilder.
Yeah, thank you, Marty. This is just in response to Galen's point. The IAASB has finished in its September meeting a standard on the audit of controls at service organizations. It's new number 3402. And we have made sure that we stayed very much aligned to the discussions regarding SAS 70. It's part of our due process that the Public Interest Oversight Board has to approve our due process. And after that has been done, hopefully in the December meeting, it will become public as a final document.
Thank you, Arnold. Jeff Mahoney?
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on my earlier question. It seems that given that so many of the PCOB resources are in connection with the inspection process, just to follow up on how that interplays with the agenda setting and the projects you're working on. I understand, based on your earlier answer, that to the extent that the inspectors find that an audit standard is not being followed, that's brought to your attention, and that's considered as part of the agenda process. But what about when the inspectors find that there's some helpful or unhelpful practices or procedures going on that are important to the quality of the audit? Do you have some process that solicits that input from the inspectors and that gives consideration to that input as part of the agenda setting process?
We have put in place processes where we meet with inspections and talk about their findings that shed light on what auditing standards need to be amended. But we also seek to learn from them, are there any areas, and we ask that question, are there any areas in your audits, inspection of audits, where you felt that standards were lacking, that had there been a standard that the audit could have been performed differently. So we ask that question, so we're trying to pursue that from both directions. I think the PCAOB is in a, and you're acknowledging this with your comments, Jeff, that the PCAOB is in a unique position by having both standard setting but also an inspection regime, and we have to take full advantage of that in making sure that we learn from the inspections process not only where audits fail and not live up to the standards, but also where audits could be better if standards were different. And so we are putting, I'll say we're putting greater emphasis on this right now. I've put this high on my program, and we have put in place meetings with inspections to gather that information. So that's a good point, and thank you for it. Lynn Turner?
Marty, back to your original question, which I thought was excellent, the one about in light of the current environment, is there anything that ought to be done standard setting wise? And given the economy we're in and the people who are struggling, in particular the banks, this is starting to feel to me a lot like what we went through two decades ago in this same environment with the SNLs and with the banks and the problems that we faced in the profession and industry at that point in time. And there are two areas that come to mind that I think perhaps merit something on the standard setting side, not a new standard, but more of one of the action alerts like what you put out, which I think have been excellent to date. I think they've been very helpful and beneficial. But in two particular areas, and one has to do with auditing the biggest item in a bank's financial statements, the loans and allowance for loan losses. And I think the firms initially did a superb job, really good job, as they got into some of the problems with the securitizations and their residuals and investments and got on top of that early on. But now things are shifting to the loan portfolios, and not just subprime, but into commercial real estate in particular, as well into commercial loans. We're now in a time period where we've seen 8 straight quarterly drops in profits amongst the public companies. 4 was the record in the past. We're now down to 8, and forecasts are that this could be the 9th quarterly decline in profits, even though people have been trying to make profits through cost cutting, but they're not getting it through revenues. Perhaps J&J announcement this week is more of an indication of that, but there is increased likelihood that executives are going to be under increased pressure to make the numbers. And it's just part of the system. It's unfortunately part of the short-termism. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and they'll be pressured to make those numbers. And I wonder if it isn't, in light of that, it wouldn't be a good time for the PCLB to come out with an action alert to go back and refocus and heighten the focus and skepticism, because we're always worried about skepticism. It always seems to be an area that people never are enough of. But on to the allowance for loan losses, given the Fed has already come out in the last couple of weeks and publicly said they don't think the banks are getting the loan losses booked up fast enough, which means the banks aren't doing it, and there's something being missed. And if the bank examiners are in and saying that, my question is, where are the independent auditors? Why aren't the independent auditors then turning around and saying the same thing, and why aren't we getting them booked? And so I think that's a fair thing to go back. I don't particularly think there needs to be a change in the standards. I think the standard on auditing judgments and risk and what the AICPA has put out on loan losses come, you know, two decades ago in this area are probably sufficient, but it really raises a question for both the inspection staff and then perhaps an action alert as to why is it that the federal banking examiners, who are quite frankly usually the last ones to say there's a problem, ahead of the independent audits in this particular case, given we know we went through this two decades ago, and then moving from that to the broader industry, there is just so much pressure on those executives in light of what's going on to meet the numbers that perhaps there needs to be, again, a heads up that just says, hey, people need to go in here realizing that pressure is on the executives, and it's going to be pressure that coincides with their compensation and their compensation packages, because if they can't make those numbers, it's going to impact or should impact compensation. And we've all gone through this before and seen what happens when people aren't going in with the right mindset to these audits. And so an action alert in that regards, I think, would be good. And I think it would probably be good to also put it out on the web and get it out there to audit committees as well, audit committees ought to be looking at this in the same light and encouraging the auditors to get in there as well then. So those are two things in light of the current environment that I think would be worthy to get on top of.
That's very good input, Lynn, and thanks for that. Joe Carcella.
Just a couple of things to follow up on what Vin and Jeff said. Real quick on what Vin said, and I thought you gave a good response, Marty, but I do think, you know, we're going on now 6.5 years with the interim standards being interim. And, you know, at a certain point, it almost starts looking foolish. You know, is it going to be 10 years or 15 years? So I think at some point you need to make a decision and just make them permanent. You know, go through the standards and make them permanent. I mean, they're essentially acting as permanent standards. That doesn't prevent you from amending them down the road. I mean, this happens all the time by the ASB and the IAASB. The point that Jeff made I thought was a very good one. And what you have to work with that the other standard setters don't is the inspection process. And notwithstanding your answer, it hasn't been clear to me over the time that I've been on the SAG that there's really a close coordination between inspections and standard setting. And I would really encourage that. And in addition to that, I think you could go further. It would require additional work, but I think you could go further. One thing, obviously, you can do is look at failures. And when there is a failure, to go in and look to see, was there a failure to follow standards, which is really an enforcement issue, or were the standards somehow deficient? And if the standards were somehow deficient, that really, to me, should be one of the major things that drives your standard-setting process, because there's obviously a problem in that area. You might also look, and again, you'd have to gather data that you probably don't have, but I think you could look at situations where audit firms have detected either material frauds or material misstatements before the statements were filed in a Q or a K. And in many cases, the procedures that might have detected those problems might be ways that particular firms in their methodologies implement the standards. And codifying that in a standard for the benefit of the profession might be quite helpful. And I'm not sure that's happening now.